Good afternoon.
Thank you.
We would like to welcome you to the July 26, 2023 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of the commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas having a special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and the general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. This commission is appointed by City Council and is not affiliated with any for-profit or nonprofit organizations. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance are used by the board to determine the compatibility of proposed changes and new developments visible from the public right-of-way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within the Savannah Local Historic and Conservation Districts. The commission cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance. Items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangements of structures are not within the board's purview and cannot be a factor in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preference will not be a basis for discussion. At this time, if you would please turn off all cell phones. Thank you. Do we have folks online? Do we have people online? Okay, great. If you are joining us online, please remain attentive and mute your mic until called upon to speak. Each commission member must say their name when you speak and when you vote on an item. Will the commission members present please identify themselves by name for the record? Let's start with you, Jeff.
Jeff Netrico.
Rebecca Fenwick.
Kathy Libina.
May Boley.
Virginia Mobley.
Thank you. Signposting. Members of the board receive an electronic agenda the week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the projects. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were there any projects not properly posted this month? Anybody see anybody? No? No? Okay. Great. Thank you. Consent agenda. These items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Is there any member of the public or of the board who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Virginia Mobley, I make a motion to approve the consent agenda for 2112 Bull Street.
May Boley second.
For the vote, Jeff?
Approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
May Boley approve.
Virginia Mobley approve.
Thank you. Motion passed. We're going to start with the adoption of the agenda.
Madam Chair. I'd like to make a motion to move other business to item number 4 on the agenda.
Rebecca Fenwick, second.
All those in favor? Oops.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Jeff Notrika, approve.
Motion carries. So we'll still do the approval of minutes, correct?
We'll do...
Do we want to do the other business? Okay.
We now need to adopt the agenda as
okay.
Amended.
Okay. So I should have made it number 5. So now we need to adopt the agenda.
As amended.
Okay.
If I'm like, I motion we adopt the amended agenda.
May Boley second.
Virginia Mobley approve.
May Boley approve.
Rebecca Fenwick approve.
Jeff Notrika approve.
Motion passes. So then we'll continue then with the new business. Or other business, pardon me.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We discussed this a little bit already, but we have prepared a memo for you all to send to the city manager and city council to amend the contributing building map to add 1001 Whitaker Street, 1015 Whitaker Street, and 124 West Park Avenue to the Victorian Historic District contributing resources map. If you all recall at last month's meeting, you all denied those three buildings for demolition on the basis of exceptional importance. So now the appropriate step is to add them to the contributing building map. So you all will be making a recommendation today to City Council, one way or the other. Does that cover it? Okay.
Can I ask a question, Madam Chair? So when do you anticipate the larger study findings for the entirety of the district will be available?
It'll be later this year.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, we're working on it right now with the list of which ones to come forward with the City Urban Planning Department now.
With the what?
With the city, with Bridget Liddy's department.
Oh, okay.
We're working
okay.
on the list to come forward with now.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion by board? Do I have a motion? May Boley, motion to send a memo to the city manager recommending a text amendment to contributing resources map as outlined in the agenda.
Virginia Mobley, second.
For the vote, Jeff?
Disapprove.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Motion carries. Thank you. Moving on, our second item. Do we just want to hold off on that, Arna?
We could. We could just remove that from the agenda since you all already, you know, there's no motion to be made now. So.
Regarding the brick?
Yeah.
And we'll just continue that next.
We need a motion to continue to the next agenda to make the corrections that you discussed during the pre-meeting.
Okay. Rebecca Fenwick, I motion we continue item number 33 to the next meeting for further discussion.
May Boley, second.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Jeff Nutrika, approve.
Motion carries. Thank you. Continuing to approval of the minutes of previous meeting. Minutes from the previous meeting are attached to the agenda. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the previous meeting? Hearing none, can I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Virginia Mobley. I make a motion to approve the minutes from the previous meeting.
May Boley, second.
For the vote, Jeff?
Jeff Nutrika, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Thank you. Items requested to be removed, there are none, so we will continue. Continued agenda. These items have been continued and deferred to the next meeting or a date certain, or that staff has determined incomplete at this time. Is there a motion to approve the continued agenda?
Virginia Mobley, I make a motion to approve the continued agenda.
May Boley, second.
All in favor, Virginia?
Virginia Mobley, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Jeff Nutrika, approve.
Request for extension, seeing none, we will continue to the regular agenda. Applications that are submitted monthly appear on the regular agenda in the following order by district. Victorian District, Cather Brownville District, Streetcar Districts, Conservation Districts. Let's begin the regular agenda. Staff will present the application with a recommendation. The petitioner will then have the opportunity to respond to the recommendation. The board asks the petitioner limit their presentation to 10 minutes or less and only address items identified as inconsistent with the ordinance and questions raised by the board. The public will then have the opportunity to comment, after which the petitioner may respond to public comment. The board will then go into board discussion, at which point no further testimony is received unless specifically requested of and granted by the chairman. We will structure board discussion by calling on each board member for two rounds of two-minute comments or less. Board members are not required to comment. Let's begin with the first application on the agenda. The petition of Sotil and Sotil, 909 Whitaker Street, new construction.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is Leah. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction parts 1 and 2 for a two-story carriage house at the rear of the property located at 909 Whitaker Street. The ground floor is a three-car garage, while the upstairs is an accessory dwelling unit. Per the applicant, the design is influenced by the primary residence of the property. In addition to being based upon an analysis of historic building patterns, design precedents, and the evolutionary pattern of Savannah's urban context. The applicant is also requesting a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for variances from two standards within Section 8.7, accessory structures and uses, as follows. The building footprint of the accessory dwelling unit shall be a maximum of 40% of the building footprint of the principal dwelling, not to exceed 700 square feet, in order to allow an accessory dwelling unit footprint of 972 square feet. Also, any portion, the standard that reads, any portion of an accessory dwelling unit over 15 feet in height shall be located at least 15 feet from a rear property line that does not abut a lane, in order to allow the building to be 25 feet in height at the zero rear property line. On May 25th, 2023, the mayor and aldermen adopted an amended section 8.7 accessory structures and uses of the zoning ordinance. The applicant submitted this current proposed design at a meeting deadline on June 7th, 2023, just days after the adoption of the amended ordinance. On June 28th, 2023, you all continued the request to allow the applicant time to address staff's recommendation, including the variance recommendation requests. Staff recommendation for approval was for approval with these conditions. One, to provide a dimension detail of the railing. Two, to provide the location of the electrical meter. Three, increase the distance between the principal structure and the accessory dwelling unit to a minimum of 10 feet. Four, reduce the overall height of the building to a maximum of 25 feet. Five, apply for a variance recommendation request to allow the accessory dwelling unit to exceed 700 square feet. And six, apply for a variance recommendation request to allow the building to exceed 15 feet in height within 15 feet from a rear property line. The applicant has addressed all of these conditions. With regard to the variance recommendation requests and the criteria for approval, with I'm not going to read word for word everything that they supplied for the criteria for approval. I'm going to summarize some of the points from it. So the first criterion is general consistency. The variance shall be consistent with the intent of this ordinance and the comprehensive plan. It shall not be injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare. MPC staff has reviewed the design. This is the applicant's words. The MPC staff has reviewed the design, considering the design standards, and has found the design of the carriage house to be visually compatible and thus in keeping with the historic integrity and character of the property. The application of these standards will result in inappropriate massing, scale, and building placement for this specific context. Criterion two is special conditions. Special condition is resultant from the specific Howard Street context of the project within the Victorian neighborhood. Howard Street is unique within the Victorian neighborhood in that it functions practically as both a street and a lane. This is Howard Street here at the rear of the property. Whitaker Street is in front of the main building here. Many homes with frontage on Barnard and Whitaker Streets have their carriage houses on Howard Street. In many other cases, smaller lots have their primary frontage directly on Howard Street, and larger homes and townhomes are built with direct frontage on Howard Street. Thus, it's contextually common for structures with footprints significantly larger than 700 square feet to be located along the Howard Street frontage. This new standard appears to be written for a more suburban residential context and not to the urban frontage of Howard Street, where structures less than 15 feet in height are a rare anomaly, and most existing buildings are 2 to 3 stories in height. Application of the standard would render the applicant's carriage house project infeasible and result in inappropriate massing, scale, and building placement for this specific context. And to further quote the applicant, the carriage house is being created by the owner to accommodate an aging parent and not for the purpose of financial gain. Regarding the criterion for literal interpretation of the provisions of the regulations would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district under the terms of the ordinance and would result in unreasonable hardship on the applicant. Quoting the applicant, literal interpretation would deprive the owner of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties within the same zoning district, as there are many structures fronting on Howard Street with footprints exceeding 700 square feet. There are many structures on Howard Street frontage with compatible height, mass, and scale. There are almost no structures less than 15 feet in height. Literal interpretation of the standard would result in inappropriate massing, scale, and building placement for this specific context. Minimum variance criterion, the variance, if granted, shall be the minimum variance necessary to make possible the reasonable use of land, buildings, or structures. In response to the previous staff report, the applicant has revised the design as necessary to comply with all the conditions for approval outlined therein, including reducing the height of the building and increasing its distance from the principal structure. Thus, the variance requested is the minimum variance required. The next criterion, the variance shall not confer on the applicant's property any special privilege that is denied by this ordinance to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning district. The applicant is not seeking any privilege and has proceeded in good faith through the design process and staff review under the regulations in place at the time. The design was found to be visually compatible by MPC staff and in accordance with historic neighborhood patterns. All right, so we're going to move on from the variance request to visual compatibility. Regarding the height, these are the context elevations. So along Howard Street, this is the proposed carriage house here. So you can see the adjacent historic carriage houses here and how it's contextually appropriate. Contributing carriage houses do exist on this block face, and the building is proposed to be 25 feet to the roof peak. As you can see, it's this is the building to the north, and this is the building to the south. With regard to the materials, the building is proposed to be brick and wood siding. It'll have a metal standing seam roof, wood details and trim, wood windows and doors, and staff finds all materials visually compatible. All of the design standards are met until you get to section 8.7 for accessory structures, which we've already discussed those two that they're requesting variances for. So staff is recommending approval as requested because the proposed work is visually compatible and meets the standards, and recommending approval of a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for variances from two standards within section 8.7, accessory structures and uses as follows. The building footprint of the accessory dwelling unit shall be a maximum of 40% of the building footprint of the principal dwelling, not to exceed 700 square feet, in order to allow an accessory dwelling unit footprint of 972 square feet. And any portion of an accessory dwelling unit over 15 feet in height shall be located at least 15 feet from a rear property line that does not abut a lane in order to allow the building to be 25 feet in height at the zero rear property line because the variance criteria are met. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Happy, Levina. I have a question. Sure. Leah, I've looked at carriage houses and I walked up and down those blocks. Are there very many carriage houses? Because I've only seen one that actually have brick on the first floor and clapboard on the second. Typically, the ones that I have seen are all the same material, mm-hmm. whether it be masonry or clapboard. But there's not a division. There's one I found, better than I, at 707 Howard Street. And that's clapboard above with brick below.
Yeah, that's the only one that we saw.
Yeah, too. That's the only one I saw. Mm-hmm.
I was looking for photographs. Oh, I guess there's only photographs of that specific street there. Oh, but that's the one that I saw too.
And so?
One's
enough.
One's enough.
Leah.
Yes, ma'am.
What is the limitation, or is there a limitation on size of garage if it didn't have a unit above it?
On the size of the garage building?
Yeah, just a standalone garage. Is there a limit on square footage?
No, there's not.
Okay. Are there any other questions for staff? Will the petitioner please step forward and state your name for the record?
Craig Clements with Sotil and Sotil. We concur completely with the staff recommendation, and I'd love to answer any questions you may have.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? I've got a question.
Okay.
Looking at the masonry and the wood, I understand that you're trying to mimic, well, not mimic, but complement the the main building with this auxiliary building, keeping with, you know, that style. Obviously, you see it in the window patterns. You see it in the dentils.
That's right.
You see it, that accent window sort of mimics the dormer window. And I don't understand, and if you could explain why, I guess, the sawtooth detail on the brick portion. There's a, you know, the cornice span has that sawtooth detail, which, you know, I mean, I know what you, but
yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't see that anywhere, and it seems very elaborate for that.
We do have it in some of the garden walls in the neighborhood, and that's part of the base being brick. We have a lot of that street also has garden walls up to the first floor.
That street or the building, your building?
The Howard Street context has garden walls with brick up to the first floor in places where there aren't carriage houses, and you do see that sawtooth detail in those structures.
My second question is the utility balcony.
Yes.
Is there a reason why it's 4 foot high? I mean, that's really high, 4 foot in
the railing.
In height, the railing.
Yeah,
versus...
it's set to screen because we were required to screen the equipment, and so that's
your equipment's 4 foot high.
Yes, it's I mean, we wouldn't put it an inch higher than we needed to. Believe me.
An air gap.
I believe there has to be air gap. I think below it, right?
Right.
Correct.
That's right.
It's not flush with the. Basically.
Right, it's not sitting right on the decking. That's true.
Any other questions for the petitioner? Any other questions? No.
Okay.
Are there
Thank
any
you.
Of the members of the public that would like to comment? Please state your name for the record. Anybody? Nope. All right. Is there anybody online? No. We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Let's start with you, Jeff.
I like the project. I think we should go with staff recommendation.
Rebecca Fenwick, I don't have any comments.
May Boley, no comments.
Virginia Mobley, no comments.
All right, I think we're ready. Is there any further discussion needed? No. Okay. Somebody like to entertain a motion?
Virginia Mobley, I make a motion that we accept staff, we approve staff recommendation for 909 Whitaker Street.
I think you also have to recommend the approval of the variance.
And with that's part of the staff recommendation, but
you can just read that
approval. Recommend approval of the staff recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for the variances of the two standards of 8.7 accessory units and the following uses: the building footprint and the any portion of the accessory building over 15 feet high.
Rebecca Fenwick, second.
For the vote, Jeff?
Jeff Nutrika, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Thank you. Motion passes. Continuing on. Petition of GM Shea Architects, 916 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, new construction, part one, height and mass. Special exemption and variance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Leah.
The applicant is requesting approval for new construction, Part 1 height and mass for an apartment building, a special exception, and a variance recommendation request for the vacant property located at 916 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Here are some renderings. Here's the site plan. The project also includes a new surface parking lot to the north of the MLK site. That's here, known as 409 West Bolton Street. Per the applicant, the apartments will be located in three-story buildings that are interconnected by a controlled access courtyard and a common roof. And you can see those. I'll zoom in a little bit. You can see those three masses here that are connected in between. And just to zoom in a little bit over here, that's the parking lot, the adjacent parking lot. Furthermore, the applicant states that these affordable apartments will be available to small families and are couples who have been displaced or at risk of being displaced due to the high cost of rental housing in the neighborhood in Savannah. I do want to remind you all that the use of the building isn't within your all's purview, but I just did want to mention that quote from the applicant. The applicant is requesting approval for a special exception from the standard that reads that floor to floor heights, the exterior expression of the height of the first story shall not be less than 13 feet. And that's to allow the ground floor of the building to have a floor to floor height of 11 feet. They prepared this diagram. This is their context elevation too. This is the non-contributing building to the south. The red lines are showing what the ordinance requires the height to be, and the elevation itself is showing what they're proposing. And then the variance recommendation request is from the rear yard building setback. And we did verify with the zoning administrator, the urban planning department, which type of setback that they consider this, and they do consider this the rear yard setback. We wanted to have the terminology right. For the variance recommendation requests. There, the rear yard setback requirement in TC2 is 10 feet minimum, and they are requesting 5 feet, 6 inches, 5.5 feet. So with regard to the special exception requests criteria, the first one is whether the use for which the special exception is being considered will be located, operated, and maintained in a manner in conformance with the goals, policies, and objectives of the comprehensive plan and the provisions of this ordinance. And the second is whether the special exception would not be detrimental to the public interest, health, safety, welfare, function, and appearance of the adjacent uses or general vicinity. The request for the special exception is in conformance with the goals and objectives of the comprehensive plan, specifically Chapter 6, which discusses affordable housing and the provisions of the ordinance. With the special exception, the structure still reads as visually compatible within the surrounding historic context. The request for the special exception would not be detrimental to the public interest, health, safety, welfare, function, and appearance of the adjacent uses or general vicinity for the above-mentioned reasons of visual compatibility. For the applicant, the special exception will help reduce building costs and help make the development more affordable. Additionally, the reduced first floor wall height will be more in line with existing buildings on either side of the proposed new building. With regard to the variance recommendation request and the criteria for approval and the general consistency criterion, the variance shall be consistent with the intent of the ordinance and the comprehensive plan. The requested setback variance is consistent with the intent of the ordinance and the comprehensive plan to maintain the pattern of previous development in the surrounding neighborhood, because the spacing between existing contributing buildings in the neighborhood is less than prescribed in the ordinance, and because the intended development is residential with street-level activated uses facing MLK Boulevard. The requested setback variance will not be injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to the public health, safety, or welfare, because it will allow for the development of a mixed-use apartment building on a currently vacant site, thereby providing affordable housing for families transitioning out of homelessness. This will increase the health, safety, and welfare of the community. These are, again, quotes from the applicant, same as the previous petition. Special conditions criterion. Special conditions or circumstances exist which are peculiar to the land, buildings, or structures involved, which are not applicable to other lands, buildings, or structures in the same zoning district. You can see that the site for the proposed building is an L-shaped parcel, and it has two fronts, no back, only sides. Unlike typical lots in the neighborhood that have street front and a backyard, the proposed site is an L-shape, which is peculiar. The application of zoning standards that are meant for lots that have a clear front, back, and sides and that provide for a greater setback than is the norm in the surrounding vicinity or are required for building safety was not an action of the applicant. The proposed development is not intended to be profitable, but rather to provide shelter for families that are currently homeless. The proposed development will not save money if the variance is granted. Regarding a literal interpretation, the proposed development is consistent with the predominant patterns for setbacks in the surrounding vicinity, and the literal interpretation would place an unnecessary and undue hardship on the applicant. The requested variance is minimal and the least amount necessary to make reasonable use of the land available. I do want to let the applicant describe a little bit more what would happen to the development and how it would affect the number of units that they could have if they had to have the 10-foot rear yard setback. All right, so moving on to development standards. The building is proposed to be three stories at 31 feet 1 inch, or 39 feet 1 inch, excuse me, and the TC2 zoning district is allowed to be three stories up to 45 feet. All right, with regard to visual compatibility, this is the surrounding context. Visually related contributing buildings consist of churches and smaller residential buildings. Commercial buildings of a similar scale, height, width, and with similar projections are non-contributing. However, staff finds that the building of a scale, because it faces MLK, is appropriate. With regard to design standards, most of the conditions that we are proposing are minimal. Storefront glazing and subdivided sashes shall be inset a minimum of 4 inches. This information just wasn't included. And same with the distance of the awning above a public right of way needs to be 8 feet. We need a dimension on the eaves showing that it's at least 12 inches deep. And we need to know where the electrical meter will be, and it should be located on secondary or rear facades. The refuse storage is proposed to be, that's not on this drawing, excuse me. So it's shown here along West Bolton Lane, and it's only screened from the street. The ordinance requires it to be screened from all public rights of way, so they'll need to find a way to screen it from the other rights of way as well. And one other question that we had is with regard to the parking lot. The ordinance says that vehicular access shall be from the lane, so the parking lot is access from the lane, but then you can see it exits onto the street. So staff is recommending that the applicant confer with the appropriate city departments to determine if this exit location is acceptable on the street. I know directly adjacent to this proposed exit is an exit from this parking lot as well. Staff is recommending approval for new construction part one height and mass of an apartment building for the vacant property located at 916 MLK with the following conditions to be submitted with part two design details because the proposed work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. And that's one, storefront glazing shall be inset a minimum of 4 inches. Two, the awning must have a minimum of 8 feet vertical clearance above the public right of way. Three, provide the depth of the eaves. They must not be less than 12 inches deep. Four, provide the location of the electric meter. Five, screen the refuse storage area. And six, confer with appropriate city departments to determine if the West Bolton Street parking lot exit location is acceptable. and recommending approval for a special exception from the standard that reads that the exterior expression of the height of the first floor shall not be less than 13 feet to allow the ground floor of the building to have a floor-to-floor height of 11 feet because the special exception criteria are met. And lastly, recommending approval for a variance recommendation request to the Zoning Board of Appeals from the standard that reads that you must have a rear yard setback of 10-foot minimum to allow the rear yard setback back to be 5 feet 6 inches because the variance criteria are met. I'll be happy to answer any questions. Are there any questions for staff?
I have one question. Was there ever a lane in this vicinity that's now missing? I was trying to...
No, I don't know.
...consider the block structure, but I couldn't quite wrap my head around it. Yeah. I saw the lane to the north, and obviously I know what building previously stood here.
Yeah, the Spana Pharmacy was here, not to my knowledge, but I didn't go back that far in the Sanborn maps. Look.
Is there a... Maybe just to go back to like a site plan, or I'm just not even sure if it was zoomed out enough to make that kind of assertion, but no, I think no.
Yeah, there's not
the block is so small.
Okay. Yeah.
That answers my question. Thank you.
Excuse me. Any other questions for staff? No, none. Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon. My name is Patrick Shea. I'm senior principal with GM Shea Architects, and I'm pleased to have with us today in the room Anita Smith-Dixon, who is the director of Community Housing Services Agency, and also Martin Freddy with the City of Savannah, who are both advocates for the project. And now I'm going to introduce star of the show, Meredith Stone, who is responsible for the design, and I will remain here at her side.
Thank you, Pat. All right, good afternoon, everyone. As he said, my name is Meredith Stone. I am a native of Savannah and a designer at GM Shea Architects. I'd like to thank first MPC staff for your positive and constructive review of today's presented design, and also thank the Historic Preservation Commission for the opportunity to present this today. I'm proud to present this design as a transformational step to make highly crucial housing in Savannah. We are here speaking on behalf of our clients at CHSA Development, Inc., petitioning for mixed-use housing development with screen parking. It will incorporate 16 high-quality two-bedroom units for small families and couples at risk of displacement in Savannah, with supportive services provided for residents and for the neighborhood, which will hopefully facilitate a stepping stone for them to afford market-rate apartments and future home purchases. The three-story buildings are interconnected by a controlled access courtyard with play spaces, resting areas, and a common roof. We learned a lot from the massing and proportions of the beautiful, charming, and surrounding neighborhood of Victorian homes. Using features like projecting bay windows and balconies facing the street, we are requesting relief, as mentioned, to allow the building to be reduced in height in keeping with the surrounding architectural context. We believe it is important to retain the architectural character of the neighborhood and agree to all of the conditions provided in staff's recommendation to approve our petition and requested reliefs. We look forward to hearing your feedback and hope we have your support as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner?
Rebecca Fenwick, I just had one question. First, just to say, thank you for presenting something that is of an appropriate scale for MLK. It's nice to see that. Kind of with that in mind and thinking about the L shape, I was curious, you know, the corridor that is the connection point to make the L, I mean, what would happen if that didn't exist? I mean, if there was two standalone buildings, is there an issue to, as Does that access required?
Let me make that be on screen.
Let's zoom in.
So in general, we need to have two means of egress from all of the apartments. And so what we've done is we put I guess we'll call it exit, but it's also an entrance closed for the parking on West Bolton Lane into that space between the buildings. And then we also have one that opens up from the adjacent, is it 35th Street? And it goes along the side of the building. I'm sorry, Waldberg Street. And goes along the side of the building and then connects into the space that's in between the two. So eliminating any of those spaces would be problematic. We want to try and make sure that these are breezeway buildings.
This is the exit stair that's under that.
Yes, there's an exit stair in both of the areas that are between the
potentially
buildings.
Could they be uncovered exit stairs? It would break up the mass, and I think it would have been more likely that these, you know, as far as the pattern and development through time to see, you know, they are reading quite nicely as individual buildings without that covered connection.
It's certainly possible, Rebecca. I mean, what we'd like to be able to have there, though, is a non-combustible stair, a steel stair. And I'd really like for that not to be in the rain for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. So that little roof in there is intended to be just enough to cover where the stairs are and to make it, you know, safer to get in and out.
Does that interfere with the enjoyment of the porches and Unit B?
Unit B.
The space between these two buildings is wider than absolutely necessary for egress breezeway, with the hopes that we'd be able to provide some outdoor space for these families. It's going to be families that are in the area. I'm not sure I answered your question, but that's what they're for.
Right. So the question is the stair between Unit B and Unit C, does that interfere with the enjoyment of the patio for Unit B?
Adjacency of the patio to the stair.
What is she talking about?
She's saying that this stair interrupt people from being able to enjoy their patios. The landings of the stairs do not land next to the balconies.
I know, but are you going to watch people walk down the stairs when you're on your patio? That's yeah. My question.
Well, we can certainly consider setting that a little further back to avoid that view.
I think it would help break
up
that
mass. Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
Well, I think that's a good point, too. If it's recessed, then that looks more like individual buildings in that way.
Yeah, that's a good suggestion.
And potentially even a different roof line if possible. Yeah, I know there's.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. If this connection were set back a little further and we could see if we could tweak it to make it as small as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the combined footprint of the three buildings is still pretty small.
Sure. Just the, I think my point is to get at the unusualness of having an L-shaped building surrounding a corner building.
Yeah. Those are things that if you make that part of your motion, then I think we can probably accommodate.
Thank you.
I have a question for the petitioner. I'm not sure, is the areas that you show for the garbage, the refuse, is that for all those buildings? All the garbage cans are right there?
It is. It's for all the residents.
Oh, for all residents.
Right.
Okay. All right. Great. And then, the Oriole window certainly adds a detail that adds excitement to the building. Is there an Oriole window planned for Unit C? I just call it ABC. Unit C, or is that right there? My concern is I for visual compatibility along West Waldberg Street, I feel Unit C reads as the back of a building. The porches are fenced, correct, from the street?
They are.
There's a, you know, 44 foot essentially wall along West Wahlberg Street. I just don't feel like it reads as a friendly addition to West Wahlberg Street. It just feels like a void walking by.
I see your point in the rendering down here in the lower right, but we are concerned that that's going to get covered up pretty quickly by another building. In other words,
when correct. Right. And so I'm thinking West Wahlberg Street, the facade that actually fronts West Wahlberg.
Well, that facade is designed to take advantage of the opportunity for balconies and to basically keep, congruity with the facade that faces MLK.
Like I said, I just feel like there's not enough interruption to bring that building as an active part of West Wahlberg Street. Obviously that I do realize that the side will be covered up with another building eventually, but I just feel like the facade isn't a welcoming for visual compatibility. It doesn't read well with the rest of the historic buildings along Wahlberg Street. There's not a formal entrance. It reads as a back of the building. Do the tenants actually walk into the units from Wahlberg Street, or
they would have that opportunity? Yes, the ones that were on the ground floor facing Wahlberg Street would be able to walk directly into their units without going into the center courtyard.
They do.
Yeah.
And so their doors front Wahlberg Street.
There are doors that face Wahlberg Street. That's correct. Go to the facade that's
scroll up
trying,
just slightly thinking,
trying to catch up. Yeah. Right. So you can walk in off of the street onto those porches. There are balconies up above it, but those are porches, and you can walk in off the street, enter the units from that side.
And there's a hidden door. I mean, there's a door. We just can't see it because it's
behind us.
It's on a short wall running north-south, right? Yeah.
That's correct.
That would be mine. That's my only question. For anybody else have questions for the petitioner? No. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment?
Good afternoon. My name is Richard Schenhoster, and I own the property at 920 and 922 MLK. While I think that the project is certainly needed in Savannah to address a problem that we all agree is very difficult to address, I am concerned in terms of the design, and maybe this can be cleared up. This is an L-shaped design, and therefore it engulfs my property on three sides. I'm not sure of the distance between the two properties. And the possibility of maintenance being required over time between those two, and has that been considered? Maybe I can get some explanation of that. I'm also would be interested if there is that possibility, then whom would be responsible for that maintenance because of this type of design? While I think it's certainly don't question the design, I am questioning how does this affect the property that I have and my need to make sure that my property remains marketable. I certainly would like to get some explanations on that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Forward and state your name. Please come forward and state your name for the record.
I don't know the procedures of this, but my name is Iris Elizabeth Mian. I live at 302 West Gwinnett Street. I'm a homeowner. I wasn't aware of this meeting at all, or this possibility of building this homeless shelter in the area. I just got this piece of paper yesterday, but I didn't read it till this morning. And it came from a concerned citizen informing us about what was going to happen on Martin Luther King. And then it also says that to come today, which they put at the wrong time, to come today at 3:30 for the meeting at the MPC concerning another homeless shelter they're going to build. My question that I have is that my concern is, did homeowners get the opportunity to put their input in? We pay our taxes, and this commission, if I remember correctly, is responsible to the city, to the homeowners, I mean, to the people who pay the property taxes. Was an effort ever made to give input to homeowners, to give them an opportunity to speak? And the other question is, if you did do it, how did you do it? And by what venue did you present it to, how did you present it to the homeowners so they could be able to come and talk on it? Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hello, my name is Ryan Jarles, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. I just want to say I'm not going to speak on things that Mr. Schoenholder also talked about. That is his property. He can speak on that. We just wanted to state our absolute support of the genuine effort that GMJ Architects, CHSA, CHSA Development, CSAH, and the Interagency Council on Homelessness, as well as the future nonprofits that they'll be working with, in creating housing that is affordable to those currently unable to ever reside in this community and in this neighborhood specifically. And we have already met with GMJ Architects and offered our technical support moving forward through our ARC, through their design details phase moving forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public? Is there anybody online? Okay, I guess we'll address the questions. Why don't we start right? Mr. Shea, if you will help address Mr. Schoenholster's questions.
I certainly will. In regards to Mr. Schoenholster's question, the space between his building and the newly proposed buildings, and you can actually see the spaces between them on the screen here now, are 10 feet or more, so there's more than 10 feet of space, especially on the Waldberg Street side. Interestingly, the building that he owns actually encroaches very slightly on the city's property at the present time, but we've set back a full 10 feet away from it for a lot of the reasons that he's described. You could negotiate certainly with the operator of the building to be able to have access to maintain his side of his building through that area. It's open space, although it won't be open to the general public. It's going to be gated off. So I think that addresses the concern about the distances between the buildings and the ability to maintain them.
I apologize. Was it 10 feet on MLK as well, did you say?
Yes.
All right.
And then one of the concerned citizens described this as a homeless shelter. It's not actually a homeless shelter. It's a place to transition people out of homelessness and into apartment-style living. So I just want to make sure that that's understood. As far as how it's all presented to the public, there have been numerous outreaches by the agencies that are sponsors, by us, by you, and in this meeting here to the community at large. So it hasn't been without some merit, but probably better for you all to address that question.
Right. So this commission, it is only our purview is the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance. So we are concerned with just the architectural visual compatibility of the proposed project. The process, Leah, maybe you can speak on.
Sure.
So this is the venue for which is, you know, this is the meeting where the public is supposed to come and speak. The site is posted with posting signs, multiple posting signs, and that's how the public is informed of this meeting. And so this is now the time and the meeting and the part two meeting as well, or however many meetings this project comes forward for the public to speak about the project.
About the project, but not the use of the project.
Correct.
And yeah. Maybe the city, should the city address how the city, or just forget that right now.
Yeah, I mean, if the use is permitted, I mean, it's a permitted use, which I presume it is if they've gotten this far in the project. So.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Sure.
I'm a little frustrated because it seems like this is already a done deal. It's not something you voted on. I mean, no, homeowners don't get to vote, or the citizens don't get seem to raise their hand and vote for whether or not we will or will not have something and how our money is spent. So when you say that information was posted where? On signs around the neighborhood? Why aren't we directly sent things to our homes, if we're the taxpayers, to ensure that we all get the information, not just simply on a whim? I mean, you can, if I, it's posted where?
I understand your concerns. Leah, maybe if you can address her concerns.
It's posted on the site. If I don't walk by that site, what I'm addressing, what I'm really concerned about is that, you know, I live out 302 West Gwinnett. There's been construction in that neighborhood where, older construction, where there's been a lot of, my house has just recently been robbed twice. I'm having landscaping done and the person has taken a homeless character because I could see it on the camera, has robbed my flowers. Now it's flowers, but those flowers got to be expensive.
I understand your concerns. Unfortunately, the use is not under our purview. Maybe the city, Mr. Freddy, you could address how you outreach to the public or the neighborhood.
Yes, thank you very much.
So Martin Freddy with the City of Savannah and
Anita Smith Dixon, Executive Director for Community Housing Service Agency. So we did meet with the Neighborhood Association.
Yeah, we had a meeting with the president of the Neighborhood Association, their executive board or committee, whatever they call it, in a second meeting. We met with the full Neighborhood Association meeting over in the Armory or wherever it is at Forsyth Park. We met with Mr. Schinholster at one occasion. Then yesterday we had met with about 15 residents from the neighborhood that came out to the Bridget Liddy's office, and she arranged for us to meet with the residents there and answer questions. And we've gotten a lot of good feedback. We made some changes to the plan and the use of the building. This is not transitional housing. This is not a shelter for the homeless. This is just really high-quality apartment housing for people that can no longer afford the cost of housing. When you look up and down Montgomery Street and all the development that's going on there, it's beautiful development, but the rents are not affordable to people that would have lived in the neighborhood at one time. So these are going to be small families or couples that have experienced at some point in time homelessness, or who are at risk of being homeless, that are involved in a program that is helping them get beyond the shelter phase of living or living in housing that's transitional into permanent supportive housing, where they have permanent apartments with supportive services. And some of the services that we envision being available are not only to the residents, but also opening up to the neighborhood. We've got a small retail space on the bottom floor. We're thinking Farm Truck 912 might be a good partner there, or entities like that that can come and offer goods and services to people that live not only in our building, but around the building. Somebody had suggested, I think, Bridget, we ought to look at a coffee shop, but we got to figure all that out as we identify the ultimate partner.
All right. Terrific. Thank you for explaining that. I hope that helps some of the citizens that step forward. I know, again, it's not use isn't under our purview, but it's nice to address some issues. Are there any other questions or is there any other members? Yep. Yes, please, of the public. Hello.
I'm Linda Kelsch. I live on Howard, 815 Howard. Just a couple comments that I really just realized through a flyer on a windshield that this meeting was taking place. And I took my dog on a walk down Wahlberg Street all the way to MLK this morning to kind of see the site in person. And I was talking to a couple that live literally catty corner from the property. And really, they just realized as well very recently. And everyone seems to be concerned with decreasing property values. My car was stolen a month ago. It was spray painted. I mean, I just feel like I know there's a need for this, but it would be nice if it was a little bit further from Forsyth Park. And there'll be additional meetings that we can attend and discuss or not.
I'm not sure. Again, that's not the purview of this commission.
Yeah, it's just such a lovely area and people work very hard. And it's just
is there a recommendation?
Concerning.
A recommendation for the neighborhood? I mean, should they reach out to their neighborhood association?
Well, or the public agencies that got up to speak, they would, I'm sure, take comments. I mean,
I would suggest if you live in the neighborhood, get involved with the neighborhood association because we've been involved with them since the outset. In fact, one of the things that we've talked about doing as we move forward and look for a partner who will actually acquire the site, manage it, is that we're looking for a nonprofit, locally owned and operated, experienced, and that the successful proposal will also be required to agree to allow for an advisory committee that is made up of persons that have financial and other interests in the property that are developing it, but also a member of the neighborhood association is going to sit on that committee. A business owner would be invited to sit on that committee. The idea being is that that committee would have a vested interest in the investment that's been made on that site and what it's trying to accomplish for the people it's trying to serve. And it would be there to provide the nonprofit's board of director with suggestions should things need to be suggested or altered or what have you. So that's pretty unique. I've been involved in a lot of projects around here, and we've never had one where we proposed actually creating an advisory committee to a board of a nonprofit that's going to own and operate this property. So it's like everything in life. Nothing's perfect, but I wouldn't characterize the persons that are going to be moving into this property in a way that it's going to hurt the people that live in the neighborhood or Forsyth Park. They're simply good, hardworking people that have rents that they have to pay, but the rents will be affordable, hopefully between $800 and $1,200 bucks a month. So.
All right. Well, thank you, members of the public. Yes.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Scheer. I'm actually the vice president of the VNA, and I just happen to be here for a different project, but I figured I should weigh in. As part of the VNA board, we have met with the organizations that are trying to put this together. Hopefully you have seen the letter that the VNA has actually provided to this committee, basically showing our support of this project. I totally get the NIMBYism of what's going on right now, but fundamentally, we do agree that we should have affordable housing in our neighborhood. We are working very directly with the teams that are putting this project together, knowing this is going to take some time and some period of effort and ongoing nature. But at least based on what we have been doing with with the organizations that are trying to put this together along with the city. We do have, we support this because we do think that we do need affordable housing in the neighborhood. This isn't a homeless shelter. Some of what's going on right now is, and I met the gentleman who is sending these letters out throughout the neighborhood. There's a lot of misinformation going on, and I think that's what's going on with a lot of what people are getting spun up on. But I think that certainly the VNA is very focused on making sure that this is something that is good for the community, good for the neighborhood, and is not adding to some of the crime issues that we do have along Montgomery, along MLK, in that neighborhood. We're all very focused on it. We're all trying to make sure that our neighborhood is a better place to be, but we also need to be a place that is not purely gentrifying the way it has been for some time. So that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other members of the public? Okay. Again, I want to thank every member of the public for taking time to attend this hearing. I think the way forward is to be an active member of the VNA and to discuss your concerns with them. We'll now enter board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Jeff, we'll start with you.
I'm good with the proposal. You know, if we want to make that additional change that Rebecca talked about, but I see no reason why this shouldn't go forward.
Rebecca.
Rebecca Fenwick. Yeah, I think it sounds like the applicant is amenable to recessing the location of the exit stair and potentially even adjusting the roof shape and roof height. I also was going to just respond to your original comment, Kathy, as well, and just say kind of the other perspective might be that the MLK side is going to have the more commercial access with an office there, it sounds like, for the public to get access to services, as opposed to the West Wahlberg, which is primarily residential. So, I mean, in a way, that's in favor of this, the differences between the two, to show that to the public what is different about the two buildings. That's all for now. Thank you.
And Kathy Litvina, I am concerned about the Wahlberg Street facade. I think it's a void along West Broad, West Wahlberg Street, which I feel is a more of a residential street versus the commercial street. And I do agree the primary facade should read as a primary facade. But this, the visual compatibility, it's nondiscreet. It really doesn't pay homage to the historic buildings along Wahlberg Street. I do have some concern that I didn't discuss about the hierarchy of the windows. I know that this is only part one, that we don't really know colors or anything like that, but I feel like the second floor windows, the solids avoids, maybe the building could be more harmonious by having different size windows, first floor, second floor, third floor. The first floor facade, the longer windows, the higher windows are on the first floor, and then the second and third floors have the same size window units. Maybe the second floor, if you'd go up 6 inches or maybe 6 inches, foot might be too much for the interior finishes. But that would give some prominence and some harmony between the first, second, and the third floors. And that's all I have.
Mabel Lee, I want to express my gratitude for the neighborhood associations, and I want to reiterate what's been said many times. This is an excellent format for getting involved and being informed in what's going on in the neighborhood. So I want to just say, please do become a member. You'll know about everything going on in your neighborhood at all times. That's what they're for. So with regards to what is within our purview, I echo Rebecca's suggestion with the setting back the stairwell and perhaps modifying the roof to be a little bit less homogenous and create a little more distinction that they're separate buildings. And with regards to the entrance on Waldberg Street, I agree. I think it could read more clearly that this is an entrance facade. I wonder if the doors, and I should have asked the petitioner this when you guys were up here, if the doors could be made to face the street frontage. And I think that that would go some way to addressing the notion that this is an entry facade. Right now they're angled 90 degrees from the street, so you can't see them. Well, at least in the direct view. I wonder if putting them there where the double window is might address that. Or alternately, while I really appreciate that there's a little patio space here for this unit, potentially engulfing that into the interior space and putting those entry doors right at the street frontage would also address that ambiguity of the purpose of this facade as a suggestion. And that's all my comments.
Virginia?
I only have one question, and it's really for Leah.
Yes, ma'am.
This project, other than what is listed as staff recommendations, does not require any, for the building, does not require any rezoning or other variances at all.
No, just what's in this.
We are only looking at the exterior walls and design of the building, not what goes on the inside.
Correct.
Thank you.
All right. Jeff, further discussion?
I already said my piece.
Rebecca?
I also had a question earlier that probably should have been the first question, but is this, how many parcels? Just one. And it was one. It's been one. Was, okay. Just an L-shaped parcel.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Catalina Levina, I think putting the doors fronting West Waldberg Street would go a lot, and maybe even somehow highlighting those doors a little bit so they read as an entrance. And then that first floor could certainly be used as almost like a porch that you would see on more traditional historic buildings. I think that would go a long way with having the building a part of the street.
May Boley, can I ask the petitioner to come up and address whether they'd be amenable to relocating the front door? Is it too late?
It's too late.
We'll
just finish the discussion and then we'll ask him to come up. How about that?
Okay, that sounds good.
Virginia?
The entrances that are for the units that are on Waldberg, is that an entrance that serves all of those floors or just the one on the first floor? The two on the first floor. Okay. Is there anything in the standards that would require them or suggest that they have a stoop or a covered entranceway?
No, I think it's only single and two family that requires a stoop or a porch.
Didn't that come up recently too about it shouldn't be at ground level, the entrance?
About that, right, further down one.
But these are at ground level, right?
Right, but that was for one and two family, I think. Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
It was an apartment building.
Right, and they were at ground. Yeah. That one was at grade. You're talking about the one in Montgomery. It got approved that way. Mm-hmm. At grade.
But there's a standard.
Only for one and two family.
So on apartment units, there is no standard for delineating street level doors.
Not that I can think of, no. Visual compatibility, there's always visual compatibility.
And this isn't a separate structure. This is, it is a separate structure. The only thing that connects it are the stairs.
Right. But I mean, these are units that face a street, and we want them to look like a residential street rather than a back alleyway.
That, I think it would be more visually compatible if it did. Any further discussion? Will the petitioner please step forward?
Yes.
Madam Chair, may I? this is May Boley. Curious if y'all are amenable to orienting the doors to face the street as opposed to the 90-degree angle into the portico.
May, a lot of moving pieces in putting one of these projects together.
I'm sure of it.
I think that's something that we'd be willing to study and come back with part two. But, I mean, we really have to have the flexibility to design the buildings the way they need to be in order to be as functional as possible for the residents.
Understood.
So what's actually in our current plans behind those windows that face the street is a bedroom. So I don't want to have an entrance that walks into a bedroom. And I don't really have the ability, as you seem to design from the perspective of just from the outside in. So if you want to make, you know, a recommendation in your motion, that's something that we'll study. But I certainly can't sit here today and commit to you that we're going to be able to pull that off. I get what you're asking for. You want something that looks like it addresses Waldberg Street more directly. And I think that's possible, but I'm not going to commit to you how.
How understood entirely, right? There's an interior and an exterior to a building, and it's not infinitely malleable. However, how do you as the architect feel about the notion of engulfing the small portico into the interior and creating a small foyer to accomplish this? That way you don't impact the bedroom at all.
I'm not sure that my feelings right now matter, but I will tell you that, you know, that's something that we're willing to consider, but I can't commit to you that I'm going to redesign those apartments while I'm standing here right now. That's just, that's not fair.
Thank
and that's
you.
Really, you know, okay.
Thank you. And what's your feeling about the hierarchy of the windows, the size of the windows?
Likewise, if you make that a part of the motion to approve, that's something that we'll definitely be spending more time on. I have to respond to a board, not just to an individual.
Great.
As much as I respect you.
I understand. No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
Further discussion by the board? Virginia? Okay. May? No? Thinking? Kathy Ledvina, here's my thought, is that this, you do have to design for the neighborhood that you reside in, and I feel West Waldberg Street, this current proposal does not pay tribute to West Waldberg Street and the homes that surround it. Although this is one building, it really is three, and you've got three different facades. And I think for the neighborhood and for the visual compatibility with the historic structures on Waldberg Street, I think that this building should front and respect West Waldberg Street and not present the back of a building.
Is there a way in which we can, before we give final approval to this matter, whether it be a continuance or an addition to the motion, to the recommendations for further review of addressing Waldberg Street?
It would be in the form of a continuance, correct?
You could do it as a continuance, but you could also do it as to return with part two if you choose. I mean, you can do it however you'd like.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can specifically call out the notion of the orientation of the front door to the street as part of the part two approvals.
As part of the part one approval, you mean? And a condition to come with part two?
Yes.
Okay.
Rebecca, discussion?
I don't have anything further to say right now.
Jeff?
Mm. Okay.
You ready for a vote? A motion?
No, you can do that.
Okay. May Boley, motion to approve for new construction, part one, height and mass for an apartment building for the vacant property located at 916 Martin Luther King with staff conditions 1 through 6, along with 2 additional conditions. The first, that the connecting stairwell be set back farther from the street to increase a sense of individuality in the buildings, and that the roof be minimized to an extent possible to that same end. No?
Is it on a street?
It is. What is it facing?
One's on a lane and one's internal.
It's the one on the lane side. Am I correct?
Internal.
Internal side. It's the east facing.
Not a lane.
It's the east facing.
That one's internal. Let's see.
South facing.
No, isn't it east?
Sorry, it won't scroll.
It's east facing.
It's east.
The east wall.
The eastern side of the development.
Could you repeat that condition?
I will start over, yes. With 2 additional conditions. The first being that the connecting stairwell on the eastern side of the development be set back, and the roof be designed in such a way as to minimize the impact or the appearance of the buildings as a single unit and create more separation in keeping with the neighborhood. And the second condition being that the petitioner brings forth an exploration of door frontage on the southern, on the Waldbird facing facade of the building for part two review in an effort to create visual compatibility with other buildings with their entrances facing the street. Yes. Oh, and more. And there's more as well. If you would put the staff recommendations back up, please, Leah. And approval for a special exception from the standard that reads floor-to-floor heights, and approval for a variance recommendation request to the Zoning Board of Appeals from the standard that reads TC-2 building setbacks.
Rebecca Fenwick, second.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Can you repeat the motion, please?
The whole thing?
Sure. Thanks.
No problem. Motion to approve staff recommendations for new construction, part one, height and mass for an apartment building in the vacant property located at 916 Martin Luther King with staff conditions 1 through 6, as well as 2 additional conditions. The first, that the connecting stair on the eastern edge of the development be set back as far as possible and the roof design be amended to minimize the appearance of a solid block and create individuality between the two structures in keeping with the visual standard of the neighborhood. And the other condition that addresses the Waldbird facade of the development, that the petitioner will bring back an exploration of creating entries that face Waldbird Street, which is also a visual compatibility issue for the neighborhood, and approval for a special exception from the standard that reads 4 to 4 heights, and approval for a variance recommendation request to the Zoning Board of Appeals from the standard that reads TC-2 building setbacks.
Any further discussion on the motion? Okay. Hearing none.
Rebecca Fenwick, second.
Oh,
yeah. I'm not going to use that again.
Okay. The motion has been seconded for the vote. Jeff?
Jeff Dentrica, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
A. Boley, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
You startled me. Sorry.
All right, moving on. The petition of Six Bricks Realty, 1309 East Broad Street, new construction, small part one and two.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the board. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant is requesting approval for new construction small parts one and two of an accessory structure at the rear of the property located at 1309 East Broad Street. We'll go through this more. But 1309 East Broad Street is a non-contributing structure in the National Register of Victorian District and the local Victorian Historic District. Its date of construction is unknown, but may have been sometime in the 1930s. It is the only building of this type in the immediate vicinity, surrounded by Victorian-era houses on Anderson Street and non-historic commercial buildings on the other side of East Broad Street. Just to kind of show some of the area. On April 20th, 2023, Code Compliance issued a citation to the property owners for installing a concrete block wall along the side of the property and a wood fence at the rear of the property without a COA. However, the COA was applied for and issued on May 30th, 2023, approving after-the-fact work with the conditions that a course of the concrete block be removed to bring the height down to compliance and to cover the concrete block with stucco. Due to the installation of this wall and fence, the ground floor of the proposed accessory building would not be visible from the public right-of-way. So just going back to the drawings, so we can just kind of go over the site plan, the existing building, the proposed new building, and then this is a contributing structure that's kind of adjacent on East Anderson Street. And floor plans. This would be the proposed structure and roof plan. The elevations here are just of the existing building as it currently is, and then this is with the proposed new structure. And we'll go with the 3D as well. In some instances, staff found that the standards were met. The proposed materials, such as the brick for the exterior walls and the windows and doors, seemed appropriate and visually compatible. Staff found that the development standards for TC1 were met. Some of the standards for accessory structures were met, but overall, staff found that the proposed building does not appear to be accessory. With regard to visual compatibility, staff found the height standard was met, but standards were not met for width and scale, as the proposed building is wider and larger in scale than the historic resources facing East Anderson Street within the vicinity. Those were the only historic resources to compare it to. Additionally, the proposed accessory building appears to be equal width or wider than the principal building, depending on the elevation. The project had been submitted and continued previously to give the applicant an opportunity to make revisions to the plans that initially showed a slightly larger building with the same stucco on the exterior as the principal building. After discussions with staff on moving forward, staff did mention the concerns about the massing and size of the building and that the applicant could choose a different exterior material aside from the stucco. To alleviate these concerns, staff did suggest the possibility of instead creating an addition or subdividing the lot in order to have the size they are seeking. But the applicant did prefer to proceed to the board with the accessory structure design. The applicant was able to somewhat scale down the building and change the exterior wall material to brick, but staff still found that both the 3D and the elevation drawings are suggestive of another principal structure. So with that, staff recommends to deny new construction small parts one and two of an accessory structure at the rear of the property located at 1309 East Broad Street because the proposed work is not visually compatible. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon, Commission and staff. I really appreciate y'all taking a look at this project today.
and hopefully I can shed some clarity on the plans, as I know that I believe a couple of these items have been.
Can you please state your name?
I'm sorry. Matthew Fairhart with Six Bricks Realty.
Thank you.
And I'm representing Jeremy Huggins. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it today. He's up in Charleston at the VA hospital getting surgery. So unfortunate. But I did have a previous conversation with him this morning about some of the staff's review items and have been able to gain some clarity with some of the items that they had mentioned. I do want to give some brief history about it. I know that we've been here for, I don't want to take up anybody's time, but to go into a little bit of the history of it. The property was purchased with both the brick wall and the fence in place. And since it was purchased with these items, we've had to go back and obtain a COA to reduce some of the previous owner's work, which, you know, we're more than happy to do. We really want to push the historic and standards of the community and make sure that those are aligned. I don't know if y'all remember seeing this building on the Anderson and Broad, but it was pretty ugly for a while. Currently, we just put in some new storefronts as well as an awning on the building, plan to add some window details as well as some banding that has not been approved yet by the COA or submitted, but those will come with time. The use of this building is going to be an office with a second floor residential from the primary structure, and the accessory structure is going to be secondary offices for the primary. The reason why we took this project the way that we've taken it and have had a couple of meetings with the HPC is we wanted to make sure that this building wasn't masked as an entire addition conglomerate building on this block, as it sits in a unique position on Anderson as well as Broad and has the residentials to the east of it and not really many commercials to compare to along that Broad face right there. We felt it best to avoid either subdividing or to make an addition to the property, as if we were, we believe that the massing would be this huge building covering the entire lot. And typically, just because there's not as many restrictions with additions in the historic area, you know, I work with the owners as a fiduciary for them and try to respect the historic fabric of the neighborhoods. And so in order to, you know, hopefully maintain more of the historic preference of the neighborhood, we went with more of an ADU design for the property rather than continuing the, you know, not really attractive primary structure. And we, moving forward, a couple of these standards that were mentioned that were not met. I do have, unfortunately, I was not able to bring a flash drive. I had some other, the architects unfortunately did not give a specific dimension for the floor-to-floor heights for exterior expression. And those do meet criteria after going and scaling those documents. I don't know if we can pull up the – can I use this? Okay, awesome. So basically on this, the floor-to-floor height would be right here above this brick detail down to the floor, and then again from this brick detail top to the ceiling. And typically that's how I would interpret the floor-to-floor exterior expression of the floor-to-floor heights. And I don't know if I can pass y'all out some paperwork showing that.
It's fine.
Okay, awesome. So this is in order to address the first comment of the floor-to-floor heights not meeting standards specifically. And I do apologize for these dimensions not being on the initial drawings. You know, that's something that we will move forward in the future of including.
You good? All right, continue.
Thank you. So that hopefully can shed some light on that initial request. And I believe that was in the floor-to-floor height standard. So going up to the width standards,
here.
So width and scale. So it currently reads that the building is not met for width and scale. The building is wider or larger than historic resources facing Anderson. I would like to come back to that point, but which are closest available to proximity? Additionally, the proposed accessory building appears to be equal width or wider than the principal structure, depending on the elevation. I will agree that the 3D models don't really do the building justice. So and we had this conversation previously with HPC, so I went ahead and took this excerpt from the actual plans, and it shows the specific dimensions of the carriage house being subordinate to the primary structure. This is 3 feet, 10 inches from the front, 5 feet, almost 6 feet from the parapet wall, and then it's actually 5 feet back here to the property line and to the back of the building. The next item was, I'm going to come back to the Anderson side of things, but I would like to address the rhythm briefly. So this reads as the structure juts out further than the primary building. I can understand where that comes from the 3D view. And again, I do apologize. It's supposed to be a artistic representation of the property, but this is not what we will be building off of. We will be building off of our site plan and plans associated with it. And here shown on the floor plan, we are 5 feet from the rear yard and 2 feet, 6 inches from the wall specifically. And then the wall meets up with the building, giving it extra. And then the building's again forward of the wall. So we did that to hopefully create a more subordinate structure to the primary. And also with the rhythm, the staff had made some recommendations about subdividing, and with the addition, I touched on this briefly when I first started speaking. Really, the having a two-story commercial building on Broad, though the owner would love it, we had made the recommendation of him doing more of a smaller structure to keep in line with the residential structures that are on the east side of the property. I could not find many examples of two-story structures in the historic bounds of the Victorian district that could be as inspiration. The closest I could find was Shook, but even that is not, it's not a single-story building, really not, you know, to this block over here. And then I believe I missed a point in the width and scale. Addressing the wider and larger in scale than the historic resources facing Anderson Street, we've had a couple of meetings with the HPC, and we always take their feedback very seriously, and this is the first time that we've presented in contrast with them. And I really do believe that's more of a misunderstanding, and I would have liked to have continued the meeting, but because of the owner's finances and he's a smaller developer in Savannah, we're having to try to guide him into, you know, his first big project. And because of that and the financial impact of continuing the project, it's difficult for somebody to take a old, ugly building and dump a lot of money into it and then spend what I've been working on it for 6 months to have the project approved. It's been shorter with staff as we needed to have plans made up, but hopefully we can take that into some consideration, though I know it's not of your purview. And I believe that's all the information that I had. So in summary, the solution I would like would be to apply for a conditional approval, and that would be addressing a smaller point. There was a typo where the door was said to be made out of aluminum. We are going to be using pine doors that were mentioned in the COA. There was a counterpoint, wood, pine, half-light doors pre-built. The second would be the scale. The scale was addressed. I don't know if y'all would like to have the scale reduced, but I have talked to the owner previous to the meeting, and he values your opinion above all else, and he does not want to, you know, go out of his way to put in another ugly building on Broad and, you know, try to have that stuff pushed through. That's not his motive. He wants to work with the city to be able to have this built. And the rhythm, you know, we have tried to find a more, if we could have a commercial building that was in the Victorian district, you know, let's say actually, you know, on Henry Street right there, we would have used that as an adjacent property to, you know, give this some definition, but that's currently a vacant lot. So we pulled from what we currently had, which was unfortunately the residential units and the ADUs that are popping up in the Victorian district. So this would not be used as an ADU though. This would be used as an accessory building for the office. And that is all. I really appreciate y'all's time.
Terrific. Thank you so much. Are there any questions for the petitioner?
I have one. Do you think the owner would be amenable? I mean, if we decided it was visually compatible to have this building on the street face by the sidewalk?
We had talked about that with them as well as staff. The owner is more than amenable to even tearing down a portion of the wall to have the building frontage on East Broad. The biggest issue that we wanted to avoid was mistaking this as a primary use building. And so putting it behind that wall creates that secondary use for it. But I'm sure that the owner would love to have a nice fascia on East Broad.
There's not a wall there currently. It's just a chain link fence.
There is a wall. Let me go back to the staff research. Yeah. So this is the current wall that's there.
Okay. Sorry. Hasn't made it to street view yet. Yeah. Got it.
And the parking is all along the lane.
The parking, yes, ma'am, would be in the rear. The concrete
Both buildings?
For both buildings. It can hold up to six cars.
And 40 feet?
Staggered, front and back.
Okay. Any other questions for the petitioner? All right. Thank you.
I was too slow on the draw. I'm sorry if you already addressed this. The width of this building is slightly wider than the primary building?
No, ma'am. So the width of the building, I'll bring back up this view.
This is from the side. I'm talking about on the street-facing side of the building?
Street-facing?
Mm-hmm.
Let me check. The width is still subordinate to the primary.
Can you give me some numbers?
Let's see here.
Because it doesn't look... doesn't look narrower to me.
I apologize. That'll take me one moment. So we are 30 feet and current structure is here. I know that the current structure is 36 feet. I'm having trouble seeing it on the plans, unfortunately.
See it, 20. Mm-hmm.
So, but the secondary structure is 30 feet wide on the broad face. The primary is 36. I have went over there and measured it. Unfortunately, it did not make it onto this plan set.
The existing building is 36 feet, and your proposed building is 32 feet, correct?
So the building is 30 feet. It is 32 wide on the...
30 by 32.
Right, 30 by 32. Yes.
Thank you.
And this may shed a little bit more light, the floor plan of the building versus the floor plan of the primary.
So we just don't know the... What is it? Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for the petitioner? Are there any members? Oops, go ahead.
The staircase that is on being added to the existing building, is that in the at the rear of the property or is it on the street?
For which, ma'am?
the staircase and landing that are added to the second floor of the existing building.
Of the existing.
Where is it located on the property? Is it at the rear of the property or is it up by the...
This would technically be the side of the property or rear, side rear of the property.
Okay. I kind of agree with Rebecca about facing East Broad.
Okay. We'll get that to that in that discussion. Are there any members... Oh, any other questions for the petitioner? Are there any members of the public who would like to respond? Thank you. We'll now enter board discussion. At this time, public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. Each board member would be called on two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Jeff, begin with you.
I will defer my time to other members of this board.
Rebecca Fenwick, I think denial at this stage is appropriate. There's some, I think, significant visual compatibility issues, and, you know, understanding the fence, it's unfortunate because I think this block could really benefit from having some street-facing buildings, even though the Sanborn evidence is that this was largely residential historically. Now there's a gas station, but there are other commercial buildings, and even though there's a good number of vacant lots in the immediate vicinity, there are other commercial buildings that are not far down north and south on Broad Street. I also, you know, the layout, I mean, office, residential, I think there's could be perceived. I don't know that has nothing to do. We have no comment on use, but so. You can ignore that last statement.
Kathy Libana, I agree with staff. I think this, at this stage, the building should be denied. I do think that there is potential if this building forwarded and fronted Broad Street, and then actually create more of a commercial facade. With a frontage on Broad Street, meaning taking down the concrete block fence, and then the whole facade would be exposed, obviously, to this review board. It doesn't read as subordinate to me at all. It reads as a second building.
May Boley, I'm inclined to support staff comments and my commissioners as well.
Virginia Mobley, I do support staff's recommendation, but I think it could, with some vision, become a commercial facade along that block. I pass it several times a day, and it's just a void. But it has potential, and it could lead to the potential of the development of Henry and East Broad.
Jeff?
As opposed to denying this, do we maybe want to defer this and give him time to go back and revisit?
Good idea. Rebecca?
What are the consequences of denial versus continuance, if you don't mind, Leah?
I mean, the reason we're recommending the denial is because we've been working with them so long, and we just can't seem to get past this design. So, I mean, I guess technically there's not really a difference, because if you deny it, they have to change it. If you continue it, they have to change it. So, but I think it just we just can't seem to get past this design and what does not work there. So we didn't know where else to go with it.
Do they have to wait if you deny it, or can they immediately refile?
They can immediately refile. It just has to be a different design.
Okay.
And it costs additional money.
Right. Actually, that's a good point. They do have to pay a new filing fee.
How much is that now?
It depends on the cost of construction. So I think $1 million plus is like a $500 fee.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Is there a motion? Or actually, if the petition was step forward, I guess we'll ask you the question. The question.
I appreciate y'all asking me to speak again. We are more than willing to do anything with design for this property. We really are. The items that we're not, that we were not willing to do was to subdivide the property or to make it an addition to the building for massing purposes. We have changed it from stucco to lap to now brick siding. We've added windows. We've reduced the size. We've made multiple changes trying to work as much as we can with the HBC. And we really do value their opinions when it comes to this project. The subdividing the property and or making an addition, we could try for an addition, but I believe the issues of having a front-facing block commercial building or, you know, those issues would still remain. If I could, a continuance or conditional approval with it being reviewed as moving the building forward and putting a face on the building for East Broad, we would hope that that would be amendable. But we really are working diligently to address all the concerns and to try to make this a better block for Savannah. We've really reduced the project and have a heavy expense in not only time, but also with the plans and changes that we try to make to help HPC make it a better building for the area. So thank you.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Staff, do you think one more month would help?
I mean, I don't think that pushing it up to the, because we've talked about that with them. I don't think that taking the same design and pushing it up to the street is going to change staff's recommendation.
No, I agree.
We don't know where to go from here.
I think I empathize. I think if I was pressed to come up with a list of conditions right now to get this project to the point that we'd be willing to continue, I wouldn't know where to begin. So that would incline me to go with staff recommendations. Yeah.
All right. Is there a motion or further discussion?
This is May Boley. Move to I'm sorry. I'll wait for you.
Sorry.
I move to deny the application for new construction, small parts 1 and 2 of an accessory structure at the rear of the property located at 1309 East Broad Street because the proposed work is not visually compatible. And I wish you the best of luck.
Is there a second?
Virginia Mobley, second.
For the vote, Jeff?
Approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
May Boley, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Thank you. Continuing forward, Kyler Brownville, petition of Mariano Vasquez, 2123 Harden Street, rehabilitation and alteration.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Caitlin again. So in this case, the applicant is requesting approval for rehabilitation and alterations for the property located at 2123 Harden Street. Work includes rebuilding the two-story porch and replacing the standing seam metal roof with a shingle roof. 2123 Harden Street was built in 1915 and is a contributing resource within the National Register Kyler Brownville Historic District and the local district. It appears that the house has undergone various alterations over the years. Take a look at this. The Sanborn maps from 1916, 1953, and 1966 all show a two-story frame house with a one-story porch. Prior to the recent porch removal, there was a two-story porch on the building, of which the second story may have been at a later date. It's not looked to be original, and other houses from the time period in that vicinity have one-story porches. It looks like an addition was incorporated on the side of the house at some point after the 1966 Sanborn map because the building footprint shows an even rectangular building, whereas the modern footprint shows this
kind of addition to the side. The researching the aerial maps was to show if there was a way to tell whether there was a point in time that second story porch had been added or the addition. But the 1951 map is barely discernible. 1971, you can kind of see that addition. And this is 2019. So it was kind of undetermined one timing. But a certificate of appropriateness was issued on April 28th of 2023 for the applicant to make in-kind replacements to the rotted and deteriorated wood and wood siding in the windows. While in the process of doing this work, the construction crew ran into issues of structural instability of the porch, where the first floor / second level ceiling was shifting away from the building, accelerated by rotted support beams. The applicant intends to rebuild the porch as it was using in-kind materials. Just kind of showing some of the conditions prior. And then this is what we are looking at now. In December of 2022, code compliance cited the applicant for some issues with the railings, windows and door frames, window glazing, roofs and drainage, protective treatment, debris and objects, overgrowth and vegetation, and the requirement of a COA for work to be done. The applicant has already started to comply and seeks to further improve the property and meet the code requirements. Overall, staff found that the proposed work meets the standards, but did have a few items to take note of. First, the applicant proposes to replace the historic metal roof with a shingle roof. From the ground level, it appears that the roof is in a condition that could be repaired rather than replaced. So staff recommends doing that instead of replacing with the architectural shingles. The applicant indicated that most of the existing material was in poor condition, but staff is recommending that if there are any items that can be salvaged for reuse, such as the porch columns, that they are used in the rehabilitation work, if possible. If it is not possible, staff is requesting that the applicant submits product details and specifications for the replacement columns. Also, with regard to the drawings that the applicant provided, staff found that more detail is needed to show the height of the new wood railings and the spacing between the balusters. The applicant has since sent an updated drawing with more detail on the upper porch, but not the lower porch, so the staff recommendation still remains. So with that, staff recommends to approve the request for rehabilitation and alterations for the property located at 2123 Hardin Street with the following conditions submitted to staff for review and approval prior to starting the project because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. One, if there are any materials that can be salvaged for reuse, such as the porch columns, that they are used in the rehabilitation work. Or if new porch columns are necessary, submit the product specifications. Two, repair the historic metal roof rather than replace with new shingles. And three, resubmit the drawings, showing that the railing height will not exceed 36 inches and that the pickets will be spaced no more than 4 inches on center, and show column details, including the bases. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for staff?
Rebecca Fenwick. Did I hear correctly? Were you saying that the work to date has met the standard?
Not the work to date, but
okay. Just what they're proposing.
What they're proposing to do. Yes. Okay. Yes.
And would work to date be considered a COA violation?
That I am not sure. They did have the approval to replace the siding.
Okay.
So.
And the windows.
Yeah, and so this just appears like from what the applicant said, it was when they were doing the siding work that they discovered the issues on the porch. So by the time.
So the past COA was to replace siding and windows.
Correct.
And that was a staff level review?
Correct.
Because it was only two items.
Right, yeah.
I don't know that I would have agreed with removing all of the siding. My other question is related to the fact of its current condition. Although there's some uncertainty of the original configuration, it would seem, you know, why go back to kind of the amalgamation of front facade elements? Was there any work with the applicant regarding trying to get to a more historically appropriate facade?
We previously, before any of this happened, we had talked about, because they had talked about this issue here, and just was this something they could either enclose the entire upper level to make it like usable space? But that was something that at the time was like, let's try to retain what was here. But going forward, that may be a good question for the applicant. And I believe he is attending online. So.
Okay.
And so Capulet Bynum, my question is, of course, the configuration of the porch, and whether or not you would go back with the full front, porch on the second level, and then also if there was any discussion about the ceilings and the floors of the porch going back with the 1x4 versus plywood, you see that shortcut a lot. Mm-hmm. If there's a specification for that specifically, and the rest, I mean, that's a lot of work without a COA.
Yeah.
Or coming to this board, I believe.
Well, it seems like a lot happened between that and this, that what was approved at the time versus now.
Right. So what about the ceiling and the floors? I mean, do you have an understanding with that, with the applicant about those? I don't see that. Yeah, I didn't see it listed. 1x4s.
And that may be something we need to check with him about.
Okay.
And I know it was just a rough framing that doesn't necessarily.
All right, we'll talk to the petitioner.
Okay.
Any other questions for staff?
Yes, this is May Boley. I know sometimes we have to protect existing conditions, right? And that was probably the case when the porch was still intact. But I'm getting at the same question is, now that it's gone and it's no longer an existing condition, we don't have to permit the rebuilding of that. We could require a single story porch.
I believe so, and I believe that the applicant may be open to that.
Okay. That's great. Thank you. Oh, one more question. The siding and window repairs. That was whole building? Like the approval was to remove all of the siding as opposed to repairing the rotted siding?
It was to repair
right.
In areas where it could be and replace where it couldn't.
Repair where possible and replace where necessary. Same with the windows, I'm sure.
Yes.
And that was very clearly taken as a carte blanche to remove every aspect of window or siding anywhere
trim,
on the building.
Everything.
Yeah. Okay. So we can call that a violation of the approval. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Any other questions for the staff?
Okay.
Would the petitioner please come forward? Oh, on the line. Excuse me.
Mariano Vasquez.
I'm here. How are you guys? Good afternoon. Hello? Hello, hello?
Hello? Mario, can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear you guys. Good afternoon, everybody.
I don't know if we can.
Yeah, you can hear me?
Do you have a presentation to present?
Yeah, I can see everything.
I can't hear him. Okay.
Is there any way to increase his volume for us? I'm having a hard time hearing him. We can't get that in letter.
All right, if you would, sir, speak into the microphone a little louder.
Yeah. Hello, hello. Yeah. You hear me?
That's better. Hello? But
you can hear me?
Yes.
Now?
Go ahead. Can you address the concerns?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I hear that. But sorry guys, but you see the condition, the building, but the city told me I cannot touch nothing until you guys approve everything. That's why I wanna fix the siding and windows. Yeah. But my permit and the city Savannah is in hold now. Yes, I wait for you guys approve start working in this property. But my intention is make like original, yeah? Whatever is before, yeah, I make the same. That's why I send to the engineering plan. And everything, I will be the same.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner?
I have one. This is May Boley. Are all of the materials that were removed from the building, have those been lost? Have they been thrown out? Or do you have any remaining?
No, sorry. Desafortunately, the constructor threw away. But
the contractor threw it all away. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, but we checked with the companies, but they have everything like original. But before I went to Georgia, and I think it's difficult find the original material. Yeah, but no, Georgia has Lara stores. They have the for historic, and they said, you don't worry, we have everything original. That's why now I feel comfortable about that.
Yes. So you're feeling confident you can replace these with appropriate materials.
In kind.
In kind materials.
Yeah. Yeah, yes.
Great. Thank you.
Any other questions for the petitioner?
Hi, Mr. Vasquez. This is Rebecca Fenwick. Question for you. Would you be willing to submit a design that included a one-story porch only based on the designs of the neighboring buildings?
Give me a second. My daughter translate to me.
Quieren un diseño que nomás tenga, quieren un dibujo, un diseño que nomás tenga ese balcón. Puedes entregar un diseño.
Okay, yeah. I don't have a problem. I talk with my engineering. I can say if he can do the down loan only. The down porch only. Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. My question is this. If they present only the down porch, what happened with the top? The up porch.
So I think it would be suitable to follow the rhythm of the windows on the second floor. So currently there's a large opening there from where the porch was enclosed for interior space. But using the size of the historic openings adjacent, you could maintain that rhythm and have similar window openings on the second floor there.
Okay, I got it. Okay, yep. Yeah, I talk right now with my engineer, and I told him draw one more
for lower porch.
Lower porch.
And I would just say, okay. Even though it's aligned with the door below.
Yeah.
Staff should be able to work with you on the design as well once you come up with a concept.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that.
Okay, yeah.
Great. All right. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? All right. We'll now enter board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. We'll call on each board member twice to speak for 2 minutes or less. Start with Jeff.
I'm going to go with staff approval. I'm going to ask staff's recommendation on this.
Rebecca?
It sounds like the applicant is amenable to a one-story porch design and doing a different more visually compatible window configuration on the second floor. So I think that we should make those conditions.
Kathy Libana, I agree. I think working with staff would be very helpful for this applicant, not only to include the porch, but also the missing historic features that were removed.
This is May Boley. I support staff recommendations. I support the addition of a condition restoring the historic original single-story front porch, and I regret the loss of so much historic fabric when there was probably a significant percentage there that could have been reasonably reused. I am looking forward to seeing this building restored.
Virginia?
No comment.
Any further discussion necessary? No? Okay. Do I have a motion?
This is Rebecca Fenwick. I make a motion. We approve the request for rehab and alterations for the property at 2123 Hardin Street with the three staff conditions, in addition to the condition that a one-story porch be designed and the second story be redesigned to include, on the front facade, to be redesigned to include windows in place of the addition.
Can we add the other historic features, the window surrounds,
Oh, I think that's already on there.
Well, I'm just worried about the window surrounds, the water table, the corner boards. I'm worried about the rest of the siding,
sure.
Historic
okay.
features off of the siding.
Fifth condition, that all of the historic trim be restored based on photographs.
Is there a second?
May Boley second.
Do we need to repeat the motion? Leah, you're okay with that? Caitlin?
I think so.
We're okay?
I got it. Yeah.
Okay. For the vote? Jeff?
Approve.
Rebecca Fenwick approve.
May Boley approve.
Virginia Mobley approved.
Terrific. Thank you. And thank you. Moving on.
All right.
The petition of Savannah Local Initiatives, 917 West 40th Street, new construction, small, part 1 and 2.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Caitlin Chamberlain again. The applicant is requesting approval for a new construction small parts 1 and 2 and two special exception requests for an empty lot located at 917 West 40th Street. Just kind of show some of the area where the lot is. And 917 West 40th Street is currently a vacant parcel in the middle of a residential neighborhood within both the National Register and the local Kyler Brownville Historic Districts. The 900 block of West 40th Street is situated between Bullock and Stevens Streets. The lot is surrounded by one-story and one-and-a-half-story single-family houses, some of which are contributing resources and others which are newer construction. For the special exception requests, the petitioner is asking for two special exceptions for the following standards. In single-family detached homes, the exterior expression of the height of the first story shall not be less than 11 feet to allow for a first-story exterior expression of 10 feet. And all residential facades visible from a street shall incorporate transparent features and windows and doors on at least 30% of the ground floor facade to allow for less than 30% transparent features on both facades. And here's those facades. So the special exception criteria, staff found that they were met. First, whether the use for which the special exception is being considered would be located, operated, and maintained in a manner in conformance with the goals, policies, and objectives of the comprehensive plan and the provisions of this ordinance. The request for these special exceptions is in conformance with the goals and objectives of this plan, specifically Chapter 6, which discusses affordable housing and the provisions of the ordinance. With the special exception, the structure reads as visually compatible with the surrounding historic context. For the applicant, while the design standards are good, these two requirements make it very difficult, if not impossible, to develop affordable housing for sale or rent to low and moderate income persons in Kyler Brownville. While providing quality affordable housing is one of Savannah Local Initiative's goals, so too is ensuring that low and moderate income persons are not priced out of this historic neighborhood. For many years, African American persons and families of limited means have been an important part of the historic fabric of Kyler Brownville. The requested exception and relief, if approved, will help SLI provide affordable single-family homes to first-time Kyler Brownville homebuyers. And the second criterion, whether the special exception would not be detrimental to the public interest, health, safety, welfare, function, and appearance of the adjacent uses or general vicinity. Staff found the request for the special exceptions would not be detrimental for the above-mentioned reasons of the visual compatibility. No additional conditions, restrictions, or safeguards are recommended. Overall, the project was found to be visually compatible and meet the standards. Staff did have a few items to note. The applicant noted the use of stucco just on the foundation below. So staff is just, which does meet the standard, but staff is requesting that the applicant works with staff to ensure that a true stucco is used. Then the information was not provided regarding where mechanical equipment and refuse will be. Will be, or how they will be screened. And then there was also no information about exterior lighting. So staff is just requesting information, further information about these topics. For fencing and walls, overall, like, the standard is partially met. A chain link fence is proposed, which meets the rear yard standard, but the chain link fence seen from the primary elevation does not. So staff recommends the fence and gate portion in this location are constructed of a permitted material. So with that, staff recommends approval for new construction small parts 1 and 2 for the vacant parcel located at 917 West 40th Street with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval because otherwise the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. 1, ensure the front yard setback is consistent with the buildings on either side. It does meet the front yard setback of 10 feet, but just to ensure that it's compatible with the other buildings within that vicinity. 2, work with staff to ensure that a true stucco is used on the foundation walls. 3, provide information about any exterior lighting on the house. 4, provide information about mechanical equipment and refuse storage area locations. And 5, revise the chain link fence and gate portion on the side elevation to an approved material. And approval for 2 special exceptions for the following standards. In single family detached homes, that the exterior expression of the height of the first story shall not be less than 11 feet to allow for a first story exterior expression of 10 feet because the special exception criteria are met. And all residential facades visible from a street shall incorporate transparent features on at least 30% of the ground floor facade. To allow for less than 30% transparent features on both side facades because the special exception criteria are met. Thank you, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Hi, this is Honus Karategi with Savannah Local Initiative, and with me,
Anita Smith-Dixon, Executive Director, Community Housing Service Agency.
We just want to say thank you to let us present this project with you guys today. And we are here to any question you guys have.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? I've got one question. It's on that side porch. Is that post a 4x4 post or is it a 6x6? right there. Not in the front porch, on the side porch.
Oh.
No, right there.
This one.
Right side elevation.
I believe it's a 4x6.
6x6?
Yes.
So my only question is, would you be willing to add a cap and a base to that? So it doesn't just look like a 6x6 to this concrete or the wood floor. Just a cap and a base.
Cap in here. We can consider that.
All right, thank you. Any other questions for the petitioner? Hearing none, are there any members of the public who would like to comment? Seeing nobody, is there anybody online? Nope. Okay. Does the petitioner have any further comments? No. Okay. We'll now enter board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. Each board member will be called on 2 times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Start with Virginia. No
comment. May Bowley, no comment.
Rebecca Fenwick, no comment.
Jeff Dentrica, no comment.
Saying that, you've heard my comment. Can we entertain a motion?
Sure, I'd be happy to. May Bowley, motion to approve for new construction small parts 1 and 2 for the vacant parcel located at 917 West 40th Street with staff conditions 1 through 5 and one additional condition that a cap and base be articulated on the side porch post and approval for 2 special exceptions for the following standards. Ooh, yep. To allow for a first story exterior expression of 10 feet and to allow for less than 30% transparent features on both side facades.
Is there a second?
Rebecca Fenwick, second.
Any further discussion? Let's take the vote, Virginia.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
Oh. Mabley, approved, sorry.
Rebecca Fenwick, approved.
Jeff Dentrica, approved.
Motion passes. Thank you.
The petition of AID Collaborative, Heather Spinger, 111 Brady Street, alterations, additions.
Thank you. This is Caitlin again. The applicant is requesting approval to add a second level to an existing non-contributing attached accessory structure at the rear of the property located at 111 Brady Street, as well as replacing the shingle roof of another earlier one-story addition with a metal standing seam roof. The applicant is also requesting a recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance from the standard regarding rear yard setbacks in Article 5, base zoning districts for TN2 building setbacks for blocks with contributing structures that reads rear yard setback 20-foot minimum to allow for less than a 20-foot rear yard setback due to existing lot conditions. So this is the property fronts on Brady Street, but the area in question at the rear, there's no lane. It faces West 35th Street, so that setback is just not possible. So 111 Brady Street, just for some background, was constructed in 1911 and is a contributing resource within the National Register Thomas Square Streetcar District and the local Streetcar Historic District. According to Sanborn maps, it appears the current accessory structure at the rear of the property was added sometime after the 1953 map, but by the time the 1955/1966 map. Since the accessory structure was added several decades after the construction of the house, it does not appear to also be contributing, and thus the project area will be reviewed as non-contributing. For the variance recommendation and request, staff found that variance criteria are met regarding the general consistency. The intent of the variance request is to have the ability to work within an existing setback and an existing accessory building, and it will not be injurious to the neighborhood or otherwise detrimental to public health, safety, or welfare. For special conditions and or circumstances that exist which are peculiar to the land, buildings, or structures involved, there is not a 20-foot rear setback available on this lot due to its location. The existing one-story accessory structure is built within the existing rear setback. It does not back up to a lane, but instead the rear public right-of-way is West 35th Street. The special conditions do not result from the actions of the applicant because they are existing conditions. And the special conditions and or circumstances are not purely financial in nature. The applicant wishes to add a second story to their existing structure, accessory structure for their own use. Thus, the circumstances are not purely financial in nature, and literal interpretation would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same zoning district. The accessory structure that exists is currently one story. Adding a second story triggers the zoning ordinance, but there is already a building in the footprint where the applicant wishes to add a second story. Other properties on this block do have two-story accessory structures at the rear, and still others in the same zoning district that back up to a lane would likely meet the rear yard setback requirement, thus would not experience this hardship. The applicant is utilizing an existing space and will work within the existing lot, so a minimum variance would suffice. And for special privilege not granted, the accessory structure on site is a pre-existing condition where the action of adding a second floor does not confer a special privilege. Overall, staff found the project meets the standards and is visually compatible. Essentially, the demolition plan is just removing the roof of that one-story structure to add on the second level, and with the entrance that is on also on the non-contributing portion there. Here's a roof plans currently. There's a lower, what it's weird because these additions all just kind of seem to open up into each other. And so they want to, there's a shingle roof on another portion that they just want to have consistently be a metal roof, which is what's on the historic building and proposed for the new second story. So the building elevations that are proposed, you can see their second story here. And then just get this so you can see what's there right now. This project was initially continued from the June 28th, 2023 meeting. Where the project was going to be approved, but with conditions. The reason it was continued is because variance in the process of the reviewing, we realized that the variance requirement was going to be triggered with this construction work. So we needed them to come back and request it. In the time since, the applicant has addressed all but one of these, which is to ensure that a true stucco is used by providing staff with this information. So staff recommends to approve the request to add a second floor to the non-contributing accessory structure at the rear of the property located at 111 Brady Street with the following condition to be submitted to staff for review and approval prior to starting the project because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards, which is to provide information about the stucco to ensure it is a true stucco, and recommend to approve the recommendation to the Zoning Board of Appeals for a variance from Article 5 Base Zoning District's TN2 building setbacks for blocks with contributing structures that reads the rear yard setback is 20 feet minimum to allow for less than a 20-foot rear yard setback because the variance criteria are met. Thank you.
Questions for staff? Any questions for staff?
I have one, just some clarity. Is the granting of the variance of 20 feet because it is an existing, it's an addition to an existing building that is less than 20 feet from the?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So this is just, it's already within this existing footprint. Okay. It's very close to the street.
I've got one question for staff. Kathy Ledvina, what's the height of the existing house? It says the new addition, the addition's going to be 65 feet, 3 inches. I was just wondering what the height of the existing house was.
I know that was on the drawings. See if
I didn't see it.
If she, We may need to check with the applicant to confirm, because this was a resubmitted drawings from the original that it looks like they are not, that is not on this now.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Will the petitioner please come forward and say her name, the name for the record? Is she online?
Yes.
Hello, can you hear us?
Their audio is not connected yet, so I doubt if they will be able to get connected to us.
What do we do? Can we move? We'll just move on.
I mean, we can move on with the application.
Okay. All right. I guess we can't ask her any questions. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? No. We'll continue with board discussion, and if she pops on the line, we'll have her comment. Is that?
Yes.
Okay, terrific. Let's enter into board discussion. Jeff, we'll begin with you.
Looks like a well-drawn set of plans to me.
Rebecca?
The Sanborn seemed to confirm that the garage is 1955 or later-ish, you know, approximate, but I don't have an issue since it's a non-contributing building.
Kathy Ledvina, my only concern is that it reads as subordinate. I did not see the plans from last month, so I just worry about the height. You see a sort of a shadow line, and it looks like it reaches the eave, but right here, yeah, it's to the left. I don't know if that's subordinate enough because I can't see it.
I will say just quickly in response, having traversed this block quite a bit on foot, on the street facing front face of the primary dwellings, they're very close together. Can hardly see back to the.
Okay.
Fine.
May Bowley, no comments.
Virginia Mobley, no comment.
All right. Were we able to locate the petitioner? Okay. Are we ready for a vote? Further discussion? Excuse me? I did.
Okay,
is there a motion?
Rebecca Fenwick, I make a motion. We approve the request to add a second floor to the non-contributing accessory structure at 111 Brady Street with staff conditions and a recommended approval to the ZBA for a variance from Article 5.
May Bowley second.
Call the vote, Virginia.
Virginia Mobley, approved.
May Bowley approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approved.
Jeff Contrica, approve.
Terrific. Thank you. Moving forward, petition of Amerigo Contini, Savannah Star, 116 East 37th Street, after the fact, brick painting and rail removal.
Thank you. This is Leah. The petitioner is requesting approval for the after-the-fact exterior brick painting and the removal of historic front porch railings at 16 East 37th Street. I'm sorry, my files aren't labeled, so I have to know why they're not labeled. Excuse me. There it is. The applicant has provided drawings that reinstall front porch railings that mimic the design and height of those that were removed. Additionally, 42-inch high guardrails are proposed to be installed behind the reconstructed railings in order to meet building code, and you can see that here. On February 23rd, 2022, the commission approved the rehabilitation of this building, and in January 2023, during the HPC meeting, staff was notified by the commission that the petitioner had exceeded the scope of work. At the March 2023 meeting, the commission continued the request with conditions, and that was to rebuild the historic front porch railings while finding a solution to meet the code set forth in the IBC. And the second condition was staff work with the petitioner to identify and test the use of paint removal methods that are of the gentlest means possible and to include means that are less gentle if needed. All tests should be in an inconspicuous location and other community partners could be engaged. After a meeting with community partners, the owner tested Blue Bear soy gel paint and urethane stripper on a portion of the painted bricks, and staff was on site during the test. At the April 2023 meeting, the HPC found that the test performed inadequate and continued the project for a maximum of 60 days with the same first condition as before regarding the railing. And the second condition was to test a minimum of 2 additional paint removal solutions for the removal of paint from the bricks and mortar. As of the writing of this report, it's unknown whether the 2 additional paint removal solutions have been performed. As if you recall, this is a contributing building constructed in 1920. So with regard, we used preservation brief 17, which is entitled Architecture Character, identifying the visual aspects of historic buildings as an aid in preserving their character regarding brick painting. The Secretary of the Interior standards for historic preservation projects embodies 2 important goals: the preservation of historic materials and the preservation of a building's distinguishing character. Character refers to all those visual aspects and physical features that comprise the appearance of every historic building. Character-defining elements include the overall shape of the building, its materials, craftsmanship, and decorative details. The surface qualities of the materials may be important because they impart the very sense of craftsmanship and age that distinguishes the historic buildings from other buildings. Furthermore, many of these close-up qualities can be easily damaged by obscured by work that affects those surfaces. Examples of this could be painting previously unpainted masonry. Some aspects of a building's visual character are fragile and are easily lost. This is true of brickwork, for example, which can be irreversibly damaged with inappropriate cleaning techniques or insensitive repointing practices. At least 2 factors are important contributors to the visual character of the brickwork, namely the brick itself and the craftsmanship. Between these, there are many more aspects worth noting, such as color range of bricks, size, shape variations, texture, bonding patterns, together with many variable qualities of the mortar joints, such as color, width of joint, and tooling. These qualities could easily be damaged by painting the brick. The red brick of this building is The red brick of this building is a key feature of the Jeffersonian neoclassical revival architecture, style of architecture from the early 20th century. Painting the brick has damaged and obscured a primary character-defining feature of this building. Regarding the Secretary of the Interior standards, standard 5 distinctive features, 7 chemical or physical treatments, and 9 new additions to not damage, the preservation standards are not met for the brick painting. Painting the red brick does not preserve the distinctive brick material. Furthermore, painting brick can cause irreparable damage to the material. It can trap moisture behind the brick and not allow it to breathe as it's intended. Normally, moisture would pass through the brick. However, when painted, the water cannot evaporate and eventually erodes the brick. With regarding the balusters, removing the stair design balusters does not preserve this distinctive feature of the building. However, railings that reconstruct the design and height of the removed railings are proposed to be installed. HSF did provide a letter. They had to leave, so they asked me to show it, that they support staff's recommendation for denial of after-the-fact brick painting. So staff is recommending denial for after-the-fact exterior brick painting at 16 East 37th Street because the brick painting does not meet the preservation standards, and approval to install reconstructed historic railings at 42-inch high guardrails at 16 East 37th Street as requested. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Are there any questions of staff?
So if we go with the denial for the painting, what happens next?
Good question. You all still have a standing condition that they were supposed to try a couple additional methods of removal, and to my knowledge, that not yet.
There's no do that by date.
You all had said maximum of 60 days, but
do we know what's that date?
That would have been last month.
Okay. Last month or this month?
It would have been June. It would have been by the June meeting.
Okay. Any other questions for staff?
Will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Robert McCorkle, law firm McCorkle Johnson McCoy here with the petitioner. You can give your name.
Amerigo Contini.
So today what we're asking for is a continuance of the paint issue. We'll talk about the paint issue and the rail issue. We're asking for a continuance of the paint issue. We saw HSF's letter that was posted with the staff report. It mentions in there that they know that the paint could be safely removed. And so we're not sure exactly what method they referred to. Everything that we tried did not work. And so you may have seen me run out after Ryan earlier and make sure I had the best phone number for him. And we had a discussion out there in the hallway, but I'm going to reach out to him and get in touch with him and see what their suggestion is. As I said to him, we're willing to consider anything that is reasonable as far as trying to deal with the paint issue. So we're asking for a continuance until next month on that item. With regards to the railings, the issue here has always been the code compliance. City required them to bring it up to code after the fact of the COA, which they put in new railings after the fact based on the code, city code enforcement instruction. And so the battle of this going since then has been to try to find something that satisfied the code enforcement as well as put back the historic railings. And so that's what's been submitted. And I'll let my client to say exactly what it is they're doing. My understanding is the staff approves. And so we'd ask for your approval of their recommendation on that item, but he can answer any questions about the specifics.
Thank you.
Are there any questions on the design of the railings?
No further comment. Okay. What about the brick? Do you think you can abide by the brick? The 30 day continuance request?
I think so. On the continuous one, I'm going to reach out to him pretty much immediately and see what the suggestion is from HSF. We'll continue to have that discussion.
All right. Can I ask a question? Oh, go ahead. I was just going to ask about from the public. Any members from the public? No. Anybody on the phone? No. All right. So now we can ask questions of the petitioner.
I don't know the products that you have used, but having being involved in a business that removes paint from masonry, natural stone, public buildings, private buildings, private monuments, and such, there is a product that we use that is very satisfactory. And it's readily available. It's called Elephant Snot.
That's a name.
Write it down.
And
I remember that one.
I didn't believe it, but it does look like that.
I've got more for you, so.
But that may be a product that you consider.
Yeah, Rebecca Fenwick, that's excellent, and I'm going to write that down as well. And I'm actually looking at an email I sent to Leah on March 28th that I know I asked in a previous meeting if it was forwarded to you, but it's a Prosoco product. That's P-R-O-S-O-C-O, Prosoco, safety peel. Prosoco is a leader in historic building products, but specifically paint removal. The other company is Cathedral.
Thank you. I definitely believe the paint can be removed. I think it is going to be an extremely difficult process to do it, but I've done it before in buildings. Not fun, not cheap, but I think with a little more effort and trial of a few more products, you should be able to figure that out.
Rebecca?
I might dispute the arduousness, but it's a big building for sure, so I can acknowledge that aspect of it. I do recall from the last meeting that the blue
previous project, there hasn't been any additional. It's worth. So. May.
Railing redesign looks great. Thanks for moving forward with that. Looking forward to getting this resolved. As obviously stated, the life of this building, it's critical that we allow that brick to breathe again. So looking forward to this being resolved.
Virginia?
No comment.
And Kat, say Ledvina, I'll have to say it. I think 30 days is appropriate. A 30-day continuance, I would be in agreement to that, but no more than 30 days.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll now entertain a motion. Can you please display your... A motion?
May Boley, move to continue the application for after the fact exterior brick painting at 16 East 37th Street and approval to install reconstructed historic railings, as requested.
Just a slight amendment is till next meeting, 30 days.
Oh, requests, continuation until the next meeting, 30 days.
Virginia Mobley, second.
All in favor, press?
Jeff Ventrica, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Mabel Lee, approve.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Motion passes. Thank you.
This is actually a very brief one, so.
We'll try.
Good to see you. So this is, the applicant is requesting approval for an amendment to a previously approved COA for new construction small parts 1 and 2 of a duplex and a carriage house on the vacant parcel. The amendment simply reduces the width of the duplex and the carriage house from 27 feet wide to 24 feet wide. And this is because, you all recommended approval for a variance to allow for 1-foot 6-inch side yard setbacks instead of the required 3-foot. Side yard setbacks. However, the Zoning Board of Appeals denied that request. So now they have to come back and reduce the width of the building from 27 feet to 24 feet. And staff is recommending approval.
Any questions for staff? Is the petitioner present?
He's online.
Jane online?
Oh, I'm sorry. There was a letter of opposition. She's been consistently in opposition to the project. She's the neighbor, and her concerns are parking and density. Because this is a duplex and a accessory dwelling unit. So there are a total of 7 bedrooms. Again, not your purview, but that's what her concern is. And she was not able to be present because of a family matter. James Wobina should be on there.
Do we have the petitioner? Sir, do you have any comments or a presentation? Can you hear me? I see now.
Oh, I did have, as long as we're waiting, I did have one condition, and that was to center this window. When they moved the windows over.
There we go.
Hello.
This is James Wobina, the architect of record. And we have no problem with the one condition, just centering that window up. I guess it didn't get moved when we squeezed the building in. But we do wish for the approval from the board so that we can go ahead and get this thing moving forward. And I appreciate it.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the petitioner? Kathy Lidvina, I have one. Did the same thing happen on the carriage house? Are the carriage house windows supposed to be centered with the doors? Oh, those are. Mine weren't. It looks like they are.
I do believe we did center them. I think there was an earlier version that we sent in, and then we sent in the latest and greatest before the cutoff time. So
yeah, that was my confusion because the windows weren't centered on my copy. Thank you. Any other questions for the petitioner? No. Okay. Any members of the public? Anybody online? No. We will now enter into board discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member to speak twice for 2 minutes or less. Start with Virginia.
No comment.
Mabel Lee, no comment.
Becca Fenwick, no comment.
Jeff Nafrika, no comment.
All right. So I don't think we need any further discussion. Is there a motion?
Virginia Mobley, make a motion to approve the staff recommendation for the approval of the previously approved certificate of appropriateness of the duplex and carriage house on the vacant lot of 2305 Whitaker Street with the following conditions to be submitted to staff for final review. Center the second floor window on the front facade and adjust the door opening above the door below.
And do we have to say the carriage house? I mean, even though we've seen the drawings?
No. This is the one that's with the agendas.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. Is there any discussion on the motion? Call to vote. Oh, so
Rebecca Fenwick, second.
I always forget that. Virginia, let's start with you for the vote.
Virginia Mobley, approve.
Mabley, approve.
Rebecca Fenwick, approve.
Jeff Nutrika, approve.
Terrific. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving on, approved staff reviews. A list of staff reviews has been added to the agenda. Are there any questions of the staff regarding the approved staff reviews? Hearing none, the board will now vote to acknowledge the approved staff reviews.
Rebecca Fenwick, I make a motion. We acknowledge the approved staff reviews.
Mabley, second.
Virginia?
Oh, we don't have to do this, do we?
Virginia Mobley approve.
May Bowley approve.
Rebecca Fenwick approve.
Jeff Nutrika approve.
Thank you. Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. We just look at those.
Okay. Hopefully you all examine them closely.
Right. Okay. Other business we have already discussed. Thank you. And now it's to adjournment.
Rebecca Fenwick, make a motion. We adjourn.
May Bowley second.
All in favor?
Aye.
We will see you at the August meeting, which is the 23rd, correct? 23rd. 14.